Translation. In the human form of life, a man and woman unite for the sensual pleasure of sex, but by actual experience we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. Purport. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Yan Matunadi Griyamedi Sukkam Hituchicham. Man and woman both seek sexual enjoyment, and when they are united by the ritualistic ceremony of marriage, they are happy for some time. But finally, there is dissension. And thus, there are so many cases of separation and divorce. Although every man and woman is actually eager to enjoy a life of sexual unity, the result is disunity and distress. Marriage is recommended to give men and women a concession of restricted sex life, which is also recommended in Bhagavad Gita by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex life not against the principles of religion is Krishna. Every living entity is always eager to enjoy sex life because materialistic life consists of eating, sleeping, sex and fear. In animal life, eating, sleeping, sexual enjoyment and fear cannot be regulated. But for human society, the plan is that although men, like animals, must be allowed to eat, sleep, enjoy sex and take protection from fear, they must be regulated. The Vedic plan for eating recommends that one take yajna shishta or prasad, food offered to Krishna. Jagyashishtashana shantam uchchante sarvakyu bisai. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food that is offered first for sacrifice. Bhagavad Gita 3.13. In material life, one commits sinful activities, especially in eating, and because of sinful activities, one is condemned by nature's laws to accept another body, which is imposed as punishment. Sex and eating are essential, and therefore they are offered to human society under Vedic restrictions, so that according to the Vedic injunctions, people may eat, sleep, enjoy sex, be protected from fearful life, and gradually be elevated and liberated from the punishment of material existence. Thus, the Vedic injunctions for marriage offer a concession to human society, the idea being that a man and woman united in ritualistic marriage ceremony should help one another advance in spiritual life. Unfortunately, especially in this age, men and women unite for unrestricted sexual enjoyment. Thus, they are victimized, being obliged to take rebirth in the forms of animals to fulfill their animalistic propensities. The Vedic injunctions therefore warn, Nayam deho da bhajam niloke kastan kvanati vidbhujam ye. One should not enjoy sex life like hogs and eat everything, even to the limit of stool. A human being should eat prasad, offered to the deity, and should enjoy sex life according to the Vedic injunctions. He should engage himself in the business of Krishna consciousness. He should save himself from the fearful condition of material existence, and he should sleep only to recover from fatigue due to working hard. The learned Brahmana said that since everything is misused by fruitive workers, he had retired from all fruitive activities. Tatrapinam patinam cha sukayam ya panutaye karmani kurvatam drishtvam nivritosni viparyayam. In this human form of life, man and woman unite for the sensual pleasure of sex, but by actual experience we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary result, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. So this Brahmana, he is now retired. And here Prabhupada mentions he is very learned. He has also seen from his experience that when one engages in the fruitive activity, one has to be very careful. Otherwise, one can steer from the path of progressiveness and go to the path of the sinful activity. So this is very unfortunate for the human being, because the human being, the living entity, is given an opportunity now to elevate himself to the higher position, and especially the arpa varga, the path of the liberation. Now the human, man, woman, everyone, can come to the moksha, get the mukti, and the highest position of the mukti is the Krishna prema, the love for God. This is the highest. So now we have the opportunity, but if we misuse it, we are what's called the kripana, miserly. We are supposed to be like the brahmana, broad, always looking ahead, looking for the spiritual, But if we become very miserly, it means just involved in the materialistic activity. This is Kripana. Just the materialistic. And so the whole world is doing like that in the Kali Yuga. Just the materialistic. But that doesn't make one happy. Even if you have everything. It's like I was reading on the plane over here the other night. That one woman, very famous actress. What's her name? She's in that famous TV series, The Friends. Jennifer, what's her name? Jennifer. That's the one. She's very unhappy with her life. I was thinking, and the whole story was there. And I was thinking, well, here she is. She's married to the most handsome man in the world, they say. She's married to the Brad Pitt, right? Married to the most handsome man in the world. She makes gazillions every year. She's very beautiful, but she hates her life. She's so poor thing. Such a poor thing, isn't she? She hates her life. Everyone would die to have her life, but she hates her life. She's very beautiful, married, millions of dollars, can do anything. Oh, because of that, and so many reasons. Oh, because this, because that, because the other thing. You know, the thing is that materialistic life, no matter how much you have, ultimately, you're never, just like the fish, when the fish comes out of the water, he is not happy. No matter what you do for the fish. The fish, you can dress him in a nice suit, give him a nice place to live, and have a nice companion for him. But if he's not in the water, then how he can be happy? So I like that. We are like the fish out of the water. We have to always be with Krishna. When we're with Krishna, we're happy. Then we can live in the world. There's no problem. But when we want to live in the world without the Krishna, sometimes we are wanting the Lakshmi, but we don't want the Narayan. The Lakshmi, she doesn't stay very long without Narayan. That's her husband. So when you want the Lakshmi only and not Narayan, and how is it possible? You won't get. Very flickering you will get. And everything temporary. Sometimes good, sometimes not good. This is the karma. This is due to the karma. We are doing the good activity in the last life, we are getting the good results. Some people you can see, they are, you know, the whole life is so easy, they're getting money, they're getting everything. Other people, they're struggling. So they may be working harder even. But someone, he's getting so much. It's like the richest men in the world. They're worth, as I was saying yesterday, they're worth billions. I just read that. On any given day, they say that what's his name, that big computer guy? Bill Gates. And his offsider, the other fellow, I forget his name. They came in together. They're worth maybe 800 billion. So I read that he likes to give in charity. And I said, well, if he just gives to the Hare Krishna movement just one of those billions, it would be very good. We don't want 800, just the one. The 1 billion. We could build a big temple in Mayapur just very easily, no problem. But you wonder, oh, how is it that some people have just got so much? So much. They don't even know how much they've got. Practically, he doesn't know. And other people, they're counting their pennies every day, you know, 10 cents, 20 cents. Every day they're counting. This is the karma. One is meant to have a lot, one is not meant to have a lot due to the previous activities. Of course, when one is devotee, devotee is under the jurisdiction of Krishna. As Krishna wants, you will have. As Krishna doesn't want, you won't have. That we should always remember. Don't think I'm now going independent. I am making. We get like that even as devotees. Prakriti Kriyaman, and we start to think again, oh, I am the doer. If I just do like then I will have some. As Krishna allows, he will give you. You know, he may give you something. But generally, Krishna, as far as his devotees, he doesn't like to see too entangled. So he gives just what he thinks is all right for that person. And sometimes he gives, sometimes he takes away again. Sometimes he gives just so he can take away. Just to teach you a lesson. You want it here, and then when you get that, take it away. Oh, what has happened? Oh, this material life is no good. we are thinking the material life is no good. So sometimes Krishna does like that. So Krishna does like that. Sometimes in the materialistic person, they get the karma is like that also. You get, just like, you know, in the 80s here, there was the big premier, Brian Burke, and there was that big yachtsman, what's his name?
Alan Bond.
He was the famous, so much money, he won the America's Cup for Australia. He was everyone was praising him, and then just 10 years later he's in the jail. Now I think he's out now, but who knows, maybe he'll go in again. I think he's been in a couple of times. So at any moment is like that, isn't it? So the point made here is that why we have to put so much trust and faith in the results of the materialistic life. They're not guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. But what is guaranteed if you become a devotee of Krishna? That is guaranteed. You will go back home, back to Godhead. That Krishna promises. He guarantees. And why we shouldn't believe Krishna? We may not believe so many others, but Krishna we can believe, because he is always our friend. Suri Damasarabhu Tanam. He is with us everywhere, and he always stays the friend. Sometimes the friend has to do some things that are not appreciated by his friend, but he's doing for his own good. Just like the children, they like to eat the lollies all day. Give me more lollies. But the parents, no more lollies for you. I hate you. You're a horrible mother. Isn't it? But is the mother being the enemy? The mother's not being the enemy. He's being the best friend. Why? Because if you have too many lollies, then your teeth will fall out. Then you will have so many problems in the body. And the children, they just want the enjoyment. But the parents know what is the consequences. So sutta here is mentioned here, especially in the Dampati is mentioned here. The marriage arrangement. You know, the human society is meant to progress, as I said, for the spiritual. To live in the world and do that needs some nice organization. The animals, they don't have organization for that. You know, they don't have where they all, you know, come together and meet and discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam or something. We won't have the dogs coming and discussing the Bhagavatam, or the cats, or the flies, or the cockroach, or the mice, or the crocodile, or the tiger, or the bird. Just like yesterday we were having lunch at Mataji's house and the birds were talking, whistling, and we're trying to teach them how to say Hari Bol. But generally they're not talking like that. We had one parrot in Christchurch, a cockatoo. We taught it to chant Hare Krishna. And it was going like that. And we taught it Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
And
Jai Prabhupada.
Devotees taught it. They taught it how to do like that. But generally it is not thinking like that. It is just like you're training it, and when it says something, you give it some nice little thing, you know, like some seed. Just like at the airport I came, they had that dog. The dog, when the passengers come in, they have that little, what sort of dog?
Sniffer.
What?
Sniffer dog.
Sniffer, yeah, it's a bass hound or something.
Beagle.
And the lady was getting it all cranked up. She wound his ears up or something. We saw the lady do like that. And the dog was going everywhere, sniffing all the bags. And as soon as the dog found something, she gave a little something to eat. So the dogs are doing, the birds can do, but generally they're not thinking like that. Only the human beings are thinking. And it's very fortunate for us. Otherwise, you know, who wants to be the dog? Who wants to be the cat or the bird? When you've got the human life. Human life gives the opportunity. Atata Brahmaji Gyas is very, very important. And to get this, to progress on this path of spiritual opportunity, you have to have the organized human society, you have to have the regulated human society. Generally, the Vana and the Ashram is there.
Panashrama Purubacha Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Arati the Pantananya Putta Shikara. Purubana and the ashram, the one just follows like that, as given to us, by ultimately is given by Krishna and is passed down through the ages, through the acharyas and the shastras. Everything describes all these things. In the marriage life, is there part of the vana and the ashram? Isn't it? One of the ashrams. Which ashram is it? That is the part of that system. Which ashram is the married ashram? What's it called? Brahmachari ashram? The Grihastha. The Grihastha ashram. Every ashram is there. You have like that in Western society naturally, but not so organized. You have like the student life, you have the married life, you have the retired life, generally they don't have the sannyas life. But actually it's not exactly right. The student life is just for the materialistic things, or no spiritual education. This is required in the vana and ashrama. Both is there. When the student goes to the school, you get the material subjects and you get the spiritual also. This is important. Now they don't have like that. When you read how Krishna went to school, Lord Balaram went to school, they learned all the different subjects. You know, how to do the gemology and how to do the... they learned the geography and all the history and everything like that. The mathematics and the trade, the metallurgy, and you can read in the Srimad Bhagavatam the description. Krishna learned all those, but alongside he learned the Vedic Shastra, the spiritual things also. Of course, he didn't have to learn anything. He knew already. But he went. So this is very important, but now they don't have like that. Just the materialistic subjects. That's why I was reading the other day that Prabhupada, he went and gave lecture at Harvard University and in America. And he was asking, where is the department for the spiritual education? You are such a big university, very famous all over America, all over the world. But if you don't have the spiritual education, what sort of what will you produce? He said, and then he gave the story, just like the Himalayas. There was a rumor going that the Himalayas would give birth. So everyone, the great Himalayas, they're giving birth. I want to see. Everyone was waiting, all the people came to see. And then all of a sudden, there was this great commotion, and many, many rats came and ran past all the people. So the people went and said, the Himalayas, so big, but they gave birth to the rats. So he said like that, unless you have the spiritual education, what you will produce, just a materialistic men. But we wonder, you should be producing the men not only capable of the material things, but of the high caliber of character, of spirituality, then you'll have a nice situation in society. So the vana and ashram is very important. The brahmachari and the grihastha. Now, grihastha is different from the grihamedi. Grihamedi means just for coming together, woman and man, just for sensual pleasure only. But that is not making one happy. Just if it's just based on physical, sensual pleasure, then the relationship more or less is going to be doomed. Not going to last. Because that doesn't ultimately satisfy. Based on physical attraction. But if that's some spiritual, and both partners, husband and wife, are sincere and serious about their spiritual life, then there's every chance it will be successful. Even while living in the world, engaging in the household affairs, if you are actually having the home like almost like the ashram, of course exactly you can't have. You cannot be exactly like the brahmachari ashram, the brahmacharini ashram. But at home it should be nice, peaceful, some spiritual atmosphere. Not just sensual pleasure, and the whole standard is just sense pleasure. Actually, it is said, if it is like that, that is detrimental for advancement. There should be some restraint, as mentioned here. Some restraint as far as indulgence And especially here, it is the attraction between the man and the woman, the male and the female. You know, that sex attraction. That should, there should be some restraint, not unrestricted. This is the main point that is made here. When it's unrestricted, that will not fully satisfy. And actually, it is a block. Because one gets caught up on the bodily platform. Just thinking the body, the body, the body. I was talking to someone, they work in a model agency. And they were saying, oh, the models, both male and the female, they're so, so much in anxiety all the time about how their bodies look. The slightest little thing, oh, what's this? Always thinking of the body. My hair is on my face. I've got a pimple here. I've got a thing there. Because they're totally caught up in the body. And they're always in anxiety. And they're in the relationships. They're very beautiful. The beautiful one marries the other beautiful one, but they're always in anxiety. Oh, when my beauty is not going to be here any longer. Especially they were saying the women are anxiety. The beautiful women are always in anxiety because they're thinking, oh, now my beauty is going. Will they be attracted to me anymore? So if you're basing everything on that, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer like anything, and the man also is going to suffer. The man likes young, just for the young, beautiful wife. The wife likes a nice, handsome man, giving money and all these types of things. If it's just based like that, there's going to be suffering. Because you can never have enough of that. Because that thing doesn't satisfy fully. But nevertheless, we have to live in the world. So you have to have, Prabhupada says here, for the conditioned souls, the eating and the sleeping, the mating, the fending are all necessary because we're living in the world. But there has to be regulation. That's the word. We have to have regulated, not just eating anything. Just like someone was telling me the other day, they're from Fiji. Fiji couple, two couples came while I was in Wellington, New Zealand, and two Fiji couples came, and one of them was telling me a story how some of his friends, Indians, were going to one of the islands in Fiji selling some goods. So they went to one out far in the interior of the island, and their car broke down. So they went to one village, oh, our car's broken, can we stay here tonight? Oh, no problem, yes, stay, we have one spare room here. So then later they were sitting and having something to eat, and then one old lady, she came. She was sniffing, smelling them. So then later she went and joined the group, and she was talking in the local language. But these two, they understood it. They didn't know. They understood it. She was telling them, oh, these two smell good. They would make good dinner. So these two Indian gentlemen, they said, they heard, they made some excuse, oh, actually we have to go. We'll come back to her later for the car, right? We have got some very important urgent business. So they left very quickly. So, it gets to the point, you just eat the other human beings, cannibals, many places in the world like that, cannibals, eating other human beings. You go to Indonesia, the Dayaks, they're now fighting with the other people in the area up in one part of Indonesia, and they were cannibals. They like to headhunter, they like to wear their head, their skull. Papua New Guinea also like that. Many islands like that. Many parts of the world. So people, if you can just eat anything, then they'll just look at you and want to eat you also. So, but we have to have some restriction, some regulation. You just can't eat everything. The people today, practically, they are like that. They eat everything without discrimination. They're not even thinking they have to restrain themselves. You go to the supermarket shelf and you see one tongue, one kidney, by liver, They don't even think.
You're eating a tongue?
You're eating a tongue.
You're eating some brains?
By the sheep's brains.
I was looking one time. What is this? Sheep's brains. Tongue, liver. Just anything.
Then they say, oh, you also, you know. We say, why are you killing these poor animals? And they say, you're also killing. But, you know, there are certain foods meant for certain living entities, certain species of life by God's arrangement. Humans are not meant for that. Not good for them. And if they transgress the laws of nature, the laws of God, they get some punishment. They're again put into a lower species of life. If you like to eat the meat, then you know, the human being is not so suited for eating the meat. It hasn't got the teeth, you know. The teeth of the human, not like tigers or dogs' teeth. Like, you know, the horse's teeth, the cow's teeth are very similar. You know. So, you know, and meat generally is best eaten fresh because it decays very quickly. So generally meat-eating animals are eating immediately. They're killing and they're eating. Unless you're a crocodile or something like that. They stow away for later. But they have digestive systems to allow for that. Our digestive system doesn't allow, yet we're doing, this is very, very sinful. One gets the punishment. This is what's called the karma, the bad reaction. You go to a species of life which allows you to eat the meat. You become the dog or the tiger or the something like that. And unrestricted sex life, you know, there's so many problems with that. It has to be restricted. Then if you are unrestricted, next life you go to the species which allows like that. Become pigeon or pig or something. So there has to be restriction. And this is very, very essential, very, very important. Otherwise, you know, there will be trouble. So eating has to be restriction, sex life has to be restriction, sleeping also has to be restriction. Can't sleep unlimitedly. Just recently at New Govardhan Farm, one man, he came, he said that he'd been on medication. He suffers from some schizophrenia, so he's on medication, but so heavy that practically he sleeps. They put him on such heavy medication, he sleeps like 20 hours in the day. And he said that, you know, he hasn't got any desire to do anything. He's been to the psychiatrist, to the psychologist. Why haven't I got any desire for living? I said to him, because you're sleeping so much. They put you on some heavy medication, too heavy, that you have to sleep 20 hours a day. And now you don't have any desire to do anything? This is due to the tamaguna. When you sleep too much, you get in the tamaguna. Tamaguna means, you know, you can read in the Bhagavad Gita what are the symptoms, you know, aprakaso, pravaticha, pramala, tamaudama, evacha, tamasitanga, vivide, kurunam. So many symptoms are given. Laziness, no desire for doing anything. There's a symptom of the tamaguna, mode of ignorance. And sleep puts you well and truly in there. You sleep too much. Actually, if you sleep too much, you don't rejuvenate the body. Body becomes more tired. Too much sleep. Now, too little sleep is not good. Too much sleep is not good either. Just have to be moderate. Jukta hara vihara said jukta chesti sukama sujukta svapta mora sukama jukta kama bhavati dukaha. Isn't it? Just moderate in the eating and the sleeping and just the moderate part. So this is very, very important. If you're lacking the desire and you're sleeping too much. A Prabhupada always said like that. If you want to be initiated disciple, especially you have to regulate your sleeping, your eating, your mating, and defending. Aggressive fighting. Some people just like to fight all the time. They like any reason they'll fight. You look at them the wrong way. Hey, I want to fight. What are you, if you walk down in the street, their street, what are you walking in my street for? This is my street. Get away from here. Otherwise I will fight with you. Isn't it? So this all has to be controlled. We have to control ourselves, control our tendency for all these things. These things exist in all the species of life. You know, the eating, you know, every species eats. Sleeping, every species. If you like so much sleeping, maybe in your next life you can become a bear. You can sleep for 6 months of the year, no problem. Actually, this man at New Governor was telling me his wife left him because he was sleeping so much. She said, look, you've slept in the last 3 years, you've slept 2.5 of them. You've slept for 2.5 out of the 3 years. So she left him. if you're really attached, you can become bear. In fact, sometimes we call, you know, some brahmacharis that sleep, like to sleep a lot, you call them Bhakta Bear. Bhakta Bear. Then the next life you can have like that. So sleeping, mating, everything. Everything has to be regulated. So these are the Vedic injunctions. The Vedic injunctions are meant for the civilized human society. Until you come to the point of the following these instructions, then you cannot be considered the humans. Humans, the animals are like that. So what has the human got that is extra from the animal? The ability to understand Krishna, to understand the spiritual. So here, as I said in the beginning, the learned Brahmana, he could see that yes, one has to follow this life, but even in following this, it is subject to abuse. So he was thinking, I want to avoid the whole thing altogether. I'm going to retire from the whole thing. This was his thinking. Prabhupada mentions, even on the royal road, there can be dangers. Even if you have all these things, you organize society, following the Vedic injunction, you always have to be cautious. Because the material world is a dangerous place. Anything can happen. So the tendency is to abuse any arrangement. Unfortunately, our conditioned nature is like that. Conditioned nature is to abuse whatever we get. Our lower nature is to abuse whatever we get. So if one can avoid the whole thing, oh, that's the best. Don't go into the... Now, generally that means you have to go to the Himalaya or the forest or something. Or you have to be the very strict brahmachari, always chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Always kirtan, reading, studying, not entangling. But the most of the people, they cannot be exactly like that. They have to live in the world, earn the living. So at least, you've gone to, 95% of the population is like that. Then live according to the vana and ashram, the Vedic life. Have some sort of regulation. The marriage. Marriage is important. It's a yajna, vivaha yajna, isn't it? People are thinking, why, what's the use of marriage, you know? But it is there, the ceremony, the ritual of the ceremony is there to help you take it more seriously. Because marriage is serious. Serious business. It's not that you shouldn't take it casually. If you take it casually, then you leave it casually and there's going to be all sorts of consequences as far as that's concerned. So, you know, people have developed, I know these days, have developed a philosophy of, you know, marriage. We'll just all live together and it'll be okay. But then you'll separate. Even in the marriage these days, there's divorce, there's separation. But it's supposed to be very spiritual. Marriage is supposed to be spiritual. You know, in most societies of the world, you have, you know, the people, they like to get married in the church or the mosque or the something, or the temple, isn't it? Because actually it's supposed to be spiritual. So it should be taken like that. And the ceremony is needed. Some things are needed in society to help us get serious. Just like if a student goes to the university, There's a certain place you go, certain institution and building that's needed. Why? Because our tendency is just to be slack. So the institution is needed to get us serious. Why don't they have university just in the football field? Huh? We're having the lectures are going on in the Perth Oval. No, you don't take it so serious. You have to go into the university. There's certain procedures, certain rituals, you could say, ceremonies. You know, they all walk around, and then when they get their degree with the thing and the cape and the little black hat, you know. So these things have a purpose. There has to be to develop a seriousness. So the marriage, the yagyas are there. Right throughout the life, there's certain samskara. You're meant to follow it. And the grihastha has certain, and brahmachari has, the sannyasi, vanaprastha, and whatever situation. All these things, the ceremonies, ritual, are there for the conditioned souls to help them take things a bit more seriously and especially concentrate on becoming Krishna conscious. This is very, very important. So we shouldn't minimize them. Our tendency is to minimize everything and just indulge in unrestricted sense enjoyment. But that's the worst thing for you as far as spiritual life. just like the child always wanting the lollies. Yes, it may be good in the beginning, but there will be other consequences. It's like I've got one bhakta traveling with me, just 17, 18. And already he's got the diabetes because taking so much sugar. snack food all the time. Lolly this, ice cream that, soft drink that, so many. So there has to be some restriction for your own good. Isn't it? You may not appreciate at the time, but actually for your good. All this organization, this ceremony, these rituals. And the Vedic is actually very nice. If you just follow it, you can actually, even in the one life, you can go back home, back to God at the end. All right, I'll read this verse again. In this human form of life, a man and woman unite for the sensual pleasure of sex, but by actual experience we have observed none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. Any question or comment? Yes, ma'am.
Maharaj, I was thinking from reading this verse, one might conclude that the Brahmana's renunciation is like renunciation is a mode of passion, that, oh, it's too troublesome, so I don't want to have anything to do with it. And yet, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna also wanted to leave the battlefield because
it's going to
have contrary results. So,
if you could
explain what is the difference.
Well, the Brahmana was renouncing in knowledge that it's too troublesome and taking up the path of Krishna consciousness simultaneously. You see, there's the difference. If he was just renouncing without true knowledge, just because it's too bothersome, then it would be a mode of passion, and the general tendency would be again after some time to go back into it. This is called the bhoga and the tyaga. Bhoga means you enjoy, then you get frazzled, and and then you tyaga, you renounce. Oh, I don't want to, man and woman get together, they like each other, I love you, I love you, and oh, I love you, and then after 6 months I hate you. They want to know about each other, separate. And that's it, I'm finished with women, I'm finished with men, no more, and then 6 months later, back again, isn't it? This is a renunciation in the mode of passion. But when you renounce, you know these things, you also know that these things are troublesome, but you have more in knowledge about the situation. That yes, but there is Krishna consciousness that now I have to take up. So simultaneously you take that up, and then that's more in the mode of goodness. The difference is the knowledge factor and Krishna consciousness. The positive action in Krishna consciousness makes it different. Any other question?
Yes.
Whereas what if you just don't want to make that step to take the positive action to make, you know, to connect you to spiritual life?
Yeah, well, then you'll be always in the negative. You have to make a positive action somehow or other. You have to get good association to help you make that step. You have to take help from others. Sometimes it's very difficult to take that decision ourselves. Then, you know, like take, you know, ask the advice of so many others and take their help and guidance. And sometimes something is difficult, you can get help. Just like, you know, someone suffering a disease, the cure is very difficult, they don't want it, but when they get help, oh, then it's a lot easier. So if you're like that, you have to get help. I'm not saying you're like that, I'm just saying generally.
Jai Ho Glory Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Gauri Thai Ki Jai, Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai.